You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling, calling home.
Welcome to episode 63 of our Planet Earth series, the series in which we look at how space technology is helping us understand our home planet.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless.
On last week's The Space Show, we described the pre-fire satellites that were awaiting launch from New Zealand's Mahia Peninsula. After a delay of several days due to heavy rainfall, all seemed set for the launch of Pre-Fire 1 on Saturday evening. Unfortunately, high winds threatened to cancel the launch. We recorded the events as described by Rocket Lab from the launch control room in Auckland.
Night has fallen on Rocket Lab Launch Complex 1, the world's first private orbital launch site. Our Electron rocket is standing tall and ready on the pad in Pad B in Mahia, New Zealand, as we count down to today's launch for NASA. Thanks for joining us for our 48th Electron launch and our 6th mission of the year, scheduled for liftoff at 19:28 local or 7:28 UTC. My name is James Rattray.
And I'm Kim Thompson. We're looking forward to another liftoff tonight for NASA. Today is the first of two back-to-back launches on Electron that we're undertaking for NASA's pre-fire mission, a climate change-focused mission to measure heat loss from the coldest regions of our planet. NASA loves an acronym, so pre-fire stands for Polar Radiant Energy in the Far Infrared Experiment, which describes the mission objectives for these spacecraft to detect how much thermal energy escapes the Arctic and Antarctica into space. We're supporting this NASA mission with two dedicated launches on Electron to carry one satellite each to a 525-kilometre low Earth orbit on a polar trajectory so that the satellites can travel across the polar regions to make their heat loss measurements.
That's right. Today's Ready, Aim, Pre-Fire launch will set the stage for the second mission, where it will deploy the second pre-fire satellite on a similar trajectory but along a slightly different path to overlap with the pre-fire one every few hours near the poles. So what's all of this got to do with climate change? Well, the amount of heat energy that Earth receives from the sun should ideally be balanced out by the amount that Earth radiates back out into space. The difference between those energy levels is what determines Earth's temperature and influences its climate.
Extreme storms, flooding, and coastal erosion are all examples of what can happen based on what's going on in the Arctic and Antarctica. To be able to better predict climate change, scientists need a full understanding of the heat energy balance happening at the poles, which is exactly the type of data that Pre-Fire is aiming to provide. For more about the mission, here's NASA.
The Arctic is warming three times faster than anywhere else on Earth.
This is a huge problem, in part because that is enhancing melt of the ice sheet. It's leading to enhanced melt of sea ice.
All of the coastal communities around the world are now seeing sea level rise around them and experiencing increased flooding.
It will impact the future generations. They're going to inherit a planet that's going to be many degrees warmer than what we are today.
We need to have better predictions of how sea level will change, how the weather around the planet is going to change. The only way we're going to do that is to understand how the polar regions are responding to climate change.
We have this considerable knowledge gap in our understanding of Arctic climate.
Pre-fire is going to fill this important gap.
Pre-fire, polar
radiant
energy
in the far
infrared
experiment.
So Earth's temperature is set by a balance between the amount of energy the Earth receives from the sun and the amount of energy that it emits back to space.
Most of the energy that is radiated to space from our polar regions is far infrared energy, and we have no modern satellite observations of this incredibly important energy spectrum. Pre-Fire will be deploying two CubeSats. Over the course of a year, they're going to be measuring the far infrared energy for the very first time that is leaving the top of our atmosphere.
Each of our pre-fire CubeSats carry something called a thermal infrared spectrometer that looks down at the Earth and gathers energy being emitted from the planet at different wavelengths.
Just imagine a rainbow. When you see a rainbow, you see the different colors in the rainbow. And what happens is light gets dispersed. Similarly, we see the different wavelengths split up, and you can measure each of these wavelengths. And that's what the spectrometer does. It spectrally separates the radiation into different wavelengths.
These wavelengths were going to give us really important information about how the surface is changing in the polar regions, whether that's going from an ice-covered surface to a melted surface, or whether it's going from sea ice to open ocean.
The two satellites are going to be orbiting in a polar orbit around the Earth. The first satellite comes along and measures the scene over the poles. And then a few hours later, we have the second one come along in a different orbit and measure the same scene, so you understand the impact of how the energy changes in those few hours.
It's really important that we understand how much energy is being emitted by the polar regions, because that defines how cold the polar regions get. And that temperature difference between the warm tropics and the cold polar regions is actually what drives the entire weather system around the planet.
What we want to do with Pre-Fire is we want to take these new observations that have never been made before, and we want to improve our understanding of the climate system and improve our understanding of how climate is going to be changing.
Understanding how the sea level rises and how the ice melts is going to help us understand weather events, and that's going to have direct impact on our farmers and agriculture.
There's a real urgency to getting this information now. Things are changing so quickly in the Arctic that we may only have 5 to 10 years to respond to those changes and help protect the property and lives that may be affected by that.
You really can pull off big science with small satellites. This is another great climate change mission by NASA that we can't wait to see launch on Electron.
At all stations, we have held the count at T-minus 12 minutes. Please await further instruction once we get some good data on this winds.
As we just heard from the launch director there, we have entered a hold at T-minus 12 minutes to do with ground winds. We'll sit with Mission Control and we'll listen out for an update on those conditions.
For quite some time, it seemed that the launch would be scrubbed. The winds were so strong that it was blowing the ice off the cryogenic liquid oxygen tanks of Electron's first and second stage. Then, launch control conducted a poll of controllers, but there was an ominous caution about the winds.
Recons go.
T1.
T1 is go.
GC.
GC is go.
PLS.
PLS is go.
RSO.
RSO is go.
MET.
MET is go.
RF.
RF is go.
And MM.
MM is go.
LDSUP.
LDSUP is go.
Okay, all stations, the go, no, go sequence is now complete. We are T-minus 11 minutes and 8 seconds and counting. We are go for terminals. Count auto sequence at T-minus 10 minutes. From this time, the three-word hold procedure is in effect. And just one note for all stations that we are still tracking these ground winds, so be prepared in case we need to hold.
Well, there we go. That is greens across the board for our go, no-go poll, and the team is ready to proceed with all remaining launch operations. As you heard the launch director call out as well, we have a liftoff time for Ready, Aim, Pre-Fire set for 19:41 local time, now in less than 11 minutes.
Today's launch for NASA's Pre-Fire mission is the first of two back-to-back launches on Electron that will fly out of LC-1. But in a bit of a coincidence, this time in May last year, we had the first of two rockets on the pad for back-to-back launches for another NASA climate science mission, the TROPICS mission, to monitor for hurricanes and tropical cyclones. Now, on our 36th and 37th launches, we deployed four storm-watching satellites to low Earth orbit that are helping weather researchers learn more about how environmental factors are contributing to the intensity and structure of hurricanes.
We caught up with mission manager Rebecca Sutton to take a look back.
So last year, in May of 2023, we launched two effectively back-to-back Electron missions for NASA TROPICS. The payloads on these missions were climate change payloads monitoring hurricane patterns. And for pre-fire, we're also doing two effectively back-to-back missions with two separate Electrons going to a bespoke orbit with climate change spacecraft. Pre-fire specifically will be monitoring the far infrared waves over the poles, which helps us gather data on ice melting and heat releasing into the atmosphere and better predicting climate change patterns. We have to be responsive both from a hardware perspective and from a mission design perspective. TROPICS needed to base their second mission design on the first, and that was us being responsive after that first launch. But to have two rockets fully available and tested ahead of time, I think was quite a feat for the team, both on TROPICS and for pre-fire. We've got all the hardware there before the first mission has launched. We do have a long history of hitting our orbital insertions quite accurately, and especially for things like pre-fire, where that inclination change is very, very small, that's really hard to hit. And so we are confident in getting that small but very important target for the customer. The team at Rocket Lab loves these science missions that are pertaining to climate change. That's really a global effort, and I think a lot of the team feel very connected to these science missions because they know that they're helping the world as a whole.
We're excited to be routinely launching payloads for the growing science community around the world.
The team is ready, the payload is ready, and Electron is ready for today's NASA pre-fire launch. Today's mission marks our 48th launch, with our next pre-fire launch after this one, bringing us just shy of 50 Electron launches. Our pace for Electron launches every year has accelerated since our first mission in 2017, with almost every year since becoming a record year of launches compared to the one before. Ready, Aim, Pre-Fire will launch on a southern trajectory at a 97.5 degree inclination to a 525 kilometre low Earth orbit.
However, luck was with the Rocket Lab's launch team. With just minutes to go, the winds whistling across the Mahé Peninsula abated sufficiently to allow the launch.
Vehicle is fully on internal power. AFDS is green and enabled for flight.
LOX load is complete. System is in recirculation. Anti-geysering is disabled.
Stage 1 and Stage 2 tanks are pressed for flight.
High flow engine purge is enabled. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
With that, we have lift off from Launch Complex 1 of our 48th Electron mission. Ready, Aim, Pre-Fire is in the air and on its way to space with its NASA payload.
The rocket headed south to pass over Antarctica and then northward up the Atlantic Ocean over West Africa, and when west of the United Kingdom, released Pre-Fire into its circular orbit.
Earlier this evening, Electron lifted off of the pad from Launch Complex 1 with its NASA satellite on board for its pre-fire mission, a mission to monitor the heat loss to space from the Arctic and Antarctica to better predict climate change. After completing all the usual mission milestones like max-Q, stage separation between stages 1 and 2, fairing separation and stage separation between the second stage and the kick stage, we are now at the final moments of the mission before our kick stage deploys the NASA satellite to space.
Just now, the kick stage has reached its 525-kilometre apogee above Earth. The trajectory it was delivered to is an elliptical orbit, which means that the kick stage and its satellite were moving in an oval shape around Earth instead of a circular one. But moments ago, the kick stage lit up its Curie engine to place the kick stage and NASA's payload on a circular path. This course correction engine burn lasts for just under a minute, and we're coming up to that point when the engine is due to shut down. So let's listen in to Mission Control for confirmation.
Stage 3 propulsion is nominal. Curie engine cutoff confirmed.
There we go. That's engine shutdown of the Curie engine on the kick stage. We're now less than a minute from payload deployment of NASA's Pre-Fire 1 payload to detect how much thermal energy escapes the Arctic and Antarctica into space. After this launch, we'll be back on the pad in the coming days where the second pre-fire satellite joins its colleague in space.
Pre-fire 1, deployment confirmed.
There you have it. The Kickstage has successfully deployed NASA's pre-fire payload. Congratulations to the Rocket Lab team on another mission success for Electron. And to NASA, welcome to space for the pre-fire mission. We can't wait to be back on the pad with you again soon for the second pre-fire launch on Electron in the coming days.
With only a few days until the next launch and then Electron's 50th flight shortly after that, it's crazy to think we lifted off the pad for the very first time 7 years ago. In fact, 7 years to the day, May 25th, 2017.
This is Rocket Lab Mission Control signing off.
The second pre-fire launch is scheduled for the 1st of June, according to one news source, but not on Rocket Lab's website. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Planet Earth is blue.
And now we turn our attention to the second Earth science mission that was launched this week.
Clouds remain one of the biggest mysteries in how the atmosphere drives the climate system. A better understanding of the relationship between clouds, aerosols, and radiation is a high priority in both climate research and weather prediction. For example, what happens to the trapped infrared radiation emitted from Earth's surface? What role do clouds and aerosols play in reflecting solar radiation back to space? The Earth Cloud, Aerosol, and Radiation Explorer satellite will answer these critical scientific questions. Let's take a closer look at the instruments. The multispectral imager instrument will provide an overview in multiple wavelengths to set the scene. The cloud profiling radar will detect vertical motion within clouds, providing details on their internal dynamics. The atmospheric LiDAR will detect the top of clouds. And it will provide profiles of the atmosphere with information on aerosols. The broadband radiometer will observe reflected sunlight and heat radiated from the Earth, measuring the reflected solar and outgoing infrared radiation. Making coincident measurements, EarthCare's unique set of four instruments will provide a comprehensive view of the interplay between clouds, aerosols, and radiation.
And a few weeks ago, they announced that the satellite was nearly ready for launch.
After years of development and a rigorous testing program, EarthCare is now ready to be shipped from the German Airbus cleanroom to the US for launch. EarthCare is a new Earth Explorer with a focus on clouds and aerosols and has been developed by ESA and the Japanese space agency JAXA.
EarthCare is an Earth Explorer mission, the sixth of the series, and it's a mission that is devoted to Earth science, to a topic very important currently in the climate change context, is the Earth radiation budget measurement. It will do that through very strong international collaboration, as we have JAXA, the Japanese Space Agency, that it's one of the partners of this mission.
From space, EarthCare will shed new light on the role that clouds and aerosols play in regulating the Earth's climate.
Clouds are fundamental for understanding our climate. If you look at the cloud system, it is basically still one of the biggest unknowns that we have in the prediction of the climate and how the complete climate system is working.
As energy from the sun reaches our planet, some is absorbed, scattered and reflected inside the atmosphere before it reaches Earth's surface. Clouds and aerosols play an important role in this process. The Earth's surface emits thermal radiation back to space, and again, clouds and aerosols play a role in how much heat is trapped and how much heat escapes.
So clouds have both a cooling and a warming effect. So this is why we have to investigate them so closely.
And EarthCare's suite of four instruments will work together to help us understand much more about Earth's energy balance.
We have four instruments. Each of them is complementary to the other part. We have the Cloud Profiling Radar, CPR, from JAXA. And this is a radar that looks inside the cloud. It looks rain, ice, but inside the cloud. Then we have Athlete. It's a LiDAR. It uses a laser instead of radio signals, and it sees the thin atmosphere. There is a third instrument, which is MSI, multispectral imager. It sees a bigger scene. The results of those three instruments, we put it into the models, the mathematical models, and we predict how much heat, energy, radiation is going back into space from this point. And this we compare with the fourth instrument. It's a BBR, the broadband radiometer. And then by comparing it and seeing what we have to modify, we can improve the models.
EarthCare is the largest and most complex Earth Explorer mission to date, and a testament to international cooperation.
ESA and JAXA have built a good cooperative relationship, including both industry.
Soon it will launch, and the data will prove to be vital for climate research, improving the accuracy of climate models, and will even support numerical weather prediction. It is a state-of-the-art mission, filling gaps in Earth system science while demonstrating new space technologies.
And this morning, we recorded the launch event.
Now with me is Thomas Ormston, who many of you know as a space expert and who has been working on this mission for 8 years. Let's begin with Operation, Thomas.
Absolutely. And we're at one of the most exciting parts of the countdown right now, the roll call. This is where the flight director makes his last big check-in with all of the team, and I think we can listen in right now.
All positions in the Vipin briefing loop. This is EFKA, roll call. All positions shall report on this loop, responding to my request, quoting your call sign, followed by go or no go. Some.
Some go.
EOCS. EOCS go. Spacon. Spacon go. Data handling.
Data handling go.
Platform.
Platform go.
Payload. Payload go. Timeline.
Timeline go.
Project rep.
Project rep go.
Project support.
Progress support go.
Software coordinator.
Software coordinator go.
Software support.
Software support go.
Flight dynamics.
Flight dynamics go.
OM.
OM go.
S-track.
S-track go.
Scheduling.
Scheduling go.
Okay, this completes EarthCare Bronco.
All lights are shining bright and green. A very good start from ESA Ops, isn't it?
It is. We are go for launch at this time from here in Mission Control in Darmstadt. And across the ocean in Vandenberg, the launcher is looking good and is ready to go.
Now, Vandenberg is one of the launch sites on the west coast of the US. And our EarthCare satellite will take off with a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket tonight at about 20 minutes past midnight our time. Now, what's EarthCare all about, Thomas?
So, EarthCare is the sixth mission in ESA's Earth Explorer program and the largest at 17 meters long in total, carrying four completely new instruments that are all looking at one thing, well, actually two things, clouds and aerosols. They're locked in this complex dance with sunlight that drives our weather and our climate, but the actual mechanics of this process aren't properly understood.
Which is a catastrophe, because it is one of the key components of global warming. In fact, it is the biggest unknown parameter of the climate debate.
Absolutely. And up until now, scientists have never had an instrument that can study all of these volatile and dynamic processes all in the atmosphere, all at the same point.
Up until tonight, because that's exactly why EarthCare has four instruments on board.
Clouds, aerosols, and radiation. That's what we're talking about today. The haze, the fog, and the clouds filter the sunlight. Some's reflected back up into space, but some passes through, trapping heat within and beneath the clouds. It's a hugely complex process that makes it really difficult to calculate what we call the radiation budget, or the balance between how much energy escapes our planet into space and how much is trapped forever here driving climate change.
And not only that, clouds are in a process of eternal change. Within minutes, even seconds, everything can look different.
Absolutely. And not only do they permanently move, form, and dissolve, there's a lot of unexplored processes at work, like how aerosol particles in the atmosphere are the seeds for icy cloud formation. The uncertainties in the behavior and the impact of clouds and aerosols translate into a huge variety of possible future scenarios for our climate. It's just a giant error factor with so many variables.
I mean, scientists say clouds cause up to 30% uncertainty in the climate debate.
Absolutely. Over the years, the IPCC reports have become so precise that this really stands out like a gap in the numbers. It's just simply missing.
But that's why EarthCare is launched at such a perfect time right now.
Absolutely. Our knowledge of Earth's changing climate will be considerably less vague if we can nail down these figures about clouds and aerosols. The EarthCare project started 20 years ago. Even by spacecraft standards, that's a long time. It's been a journey with a lot of ups and downs along the way, whether it was external factors like COVID or the technical challenges posed by such a complex mission. Hundreds of obstacles had to be overcome, but everyone wanted to succeed. There's an even unexpected side effect, which was that we've been able to learn from other missions like AEOLUS, making EarthCare even better and even stronger.
And it was indeed Terada-san's idea to name EarthCare the White Dragon, in Japanese, Hakuryu, that brings happiness into the world, just as we expect the EarthCare mission will do for our planet. There are, in fact, two separate processing and data distribution chains, one in Europe and one in Japan, to best serve scientists across the planet. And the mission will start with two validation campaigns, also one from Europe and another from Japan.
My name is Zachary Lupin, and I'm an avionics reliability engineer here at SpaceX, and I'm joining you from our headquarters in Hawthorne, California. Welcome to our live launch coverage of the EarthCare mission, a European Space Agency Earth Explorer mission developed as a joint project between ESA and the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, or JAXA. Currently, both the vehicle and Ranger green, and we are on track for an on-time launch at 3:20 p.m. Pacific time. The EarthCare payload continues to be healthy, and the Falcon 9 team is tracking no issues on the rocket. Weather is still looking green, and the range is ready to support our T0 of 3:20 p.m. Pacific time. And with that, we're proceeding into the last couple minutes of terminal count.
Stage 2, LOX load is complete.
And there's that call out that stage 2 LOX loading is complete. Falcon 9 is now fully loaded with 1 million pounds of propellant and oxidizer.
Ground gas closeouts.
Good call out there. In about 20 seconds from now, we should hear a call out that Falcon 9 is in startup. And as a reminder, this is a call out that the rocket's autonomous internal flight computers have taken over the launch countdown.
Falcon 9 is in startup.
And there's that call out that Falcon 9 is in startup. Lastly, we're waiting for the launch director, or LD, to give the final go for today's launch.
LD is go for launch.
And with that call out that the LD is go for launch, we are set to launch ESA's EarthCare payload.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And lift off. Go Falcon 9.
And that liftoff came at 8:20 this morning, Australian Eastern Standard Time. Well, 9 minutes after liftoff, EarthCare was in orbit.
MVAC shutdown.
And there's that call out for MVAC shutdown on the second stage. We're now waiting for confirmation of nominal orbital insertion.
Nominal orbit insertion.
And there's that call out. Now, with that call out, we're just one major milestone left in our mission, which is payload deployment.
EarthCare separation confirmed.
Successful deployment of the EarthCare payload.
Back in Darmstadt, they were quite emotional.
I meant to talk now. I wasn't ready for this much emotion seeing our spacecraft, our EarthCare, flying free. But we're here back in mission control here in Darmstadt, Germany. And I want to tell you a little bit about what's going to happen over the next 40 minutes, because we have a little bit of time to wait before we hear from EarthCare for the first time here at Mission Control. But the satellite's not going to be quiet. Very soon, it will start going through a set of automatic steps to turn on its transmitter so it can talk to us, to get things like that big solar array ready so it can generate power, effectively to be ready for that first conversation, which we hope to have with it very, very soon. The satellite itself is now going to fly down towards Antarctica, come up under the South Pole, and we will pick it up again, as I say, in around 40 minutes from now at our ground station in Hartbeespoort in South Africa.
Oh, amazing news. Really incredible. Now, with me is Torsten Fehr from ESA. He is the Earth Care Mission scientist, and he looks very happy.
Kara, I'm very happy. I mean, this is an emotional roller coaster, and I guess that everybody in the room and also the viewers online, I mean, for us, this was just such an exciting moment, and to see this this perfect launch and the deployment of the satellite, I mean, this is just, and I'm talking much too fast, but I'm so emotional. Seriously, to see this after so many years that we've been waiting, after hundreds, thousands of people have been working on the satellite for such a long time, with the scientists, of course, it's a mission scientist. This is dear to my heart, supporting us and driving us through all of those years with our Japanese partners. This is just fantastic. I have to say, this is, I think, probably one of the greatest moments in my professional life ever. It's fantastic. I cannot be more happy at the moment. We still have some time to go. We're not there yet, but we've done a big leap forward.
Incredible work. I mean, this is fantastic news, and the excitement is infectious. Science is on a good trajectory. Thank you so much, Torsten.
Thank you, Kara.
And then there was a 40-minute wait until the EarthCare satellite passed over South Africa and the first signal was acquired, confirming that it had survived the launch.
Yeah, I think it's a tense moment in the room here, but also in the main control room. Everyone will be watching their screens and getting ready for what's coming next. In fact, the most important screen in this room right now, because our ground station in Hartbeespoort in South Africa is pointed to the horizon, waiting for EarthCare to rise above it and start talking to us for the very, very first time. It turned on its transmitter automatically, so it's sending out a signal. We just need to wait for it to come up round Antarctica and up towards South Africa, where we can finally listen to what it says. Once that happens, there'll be a very frenetic pace going on in the main control room. There'll be a lot of activities happening all at once. Oh, and it looks like we have a signal. We can see that little spike.
So we can confirm from the main control room that we had acquisition of signal. We are getting telemetry in the systems, and we already see that the solar array is separated and the status of the satellite seems.
It will be several months before all systems and instruments are checked out and declared operational.
This is Planet Earth. You're looking Planet Earth. Ba, 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 ba. This is Planet Earth.
And this is The Space Show here on 88.3 Southern FM.